Scripture lesson this morning is Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 and 13. Feel free to follow along in your own Bible, in a pew Bible, or on the screen in front of you. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Terry. What a blessing to be able to sing and to share scripture together and to be in this beautiful sanctuary on this beautiful day. I'm Pastor Tom Palmer, a work in progress person and pastor in a work-in-progress congregation. So if you're a guest with us today and you don't have it all together all the time, you've come to the right place. Because this is a place of grace. And it's been a place of grace for over 140 years. A place where all are beloved, all belong, and all can become the person God has called us to be through the grace of Jesus Christ. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, next Sunday we'll gather again for the first Sunday in Advent. But we're going to be here today. We're going to be celebrating God's grace today in this season of gratitude. We have been in this season of 30 days of gratitude and been on this journey together. My sense is that Thanksgiving, which we will celebrate on Thursday, Thanksgiving in many ways is automatic. In many ways, we Palmers, and I trust that we're not so different from you all, we Palmers are going to gather on Thursday afternoon. The Greenberg smoked turkey has been ordered from East Texas. My sister-in-law will put it in the oven at the appropriate time. We've divvied out all the different side dishes. My wife Lisa will bring the obligatory green bean casserole, you know, with the onions and all that, the crispy things on top. I will bake my pumpkin pies, and my pumpkin pies, you should try my pumpkin pies. This is my recipe. You do the pumpkin pie. It's one part pumpkin pie, three parts Cool Whip, okay? So regardless of how the pie tastes, it's going to be good with the Cool Whip. But we're going to gather, we're going to have the American average of 4,500 calories within 2 hours. That's the American average. Kind of makes you want to rethink the donut that you're going to have after the service today, but no, we'll have it anyway. We'll get some exercise, okay? But we're gonna have Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is automatic in this culture in so many ways. But gratitude is not. You can have Thanksgiving and not have gratitude. And so we have been practicing gratitude, and what we practice matters. It matters. I remember Dallas Cowboy great Darren Woodson saying, and when the Cowboys were great, that he could determine pretty much like clockwork what happened on Sunday by how the team practiced on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. He could tell the practice made a difference. I think the practice is going to make a difference today for the New England Patriots. I don't know if you heard this, but Tom Brady is upset with his offense. He's upset with his offense that twice this year they have failed to score 20 points. I feel so sorry for him and his five rings, you know, and the poor 8-1 Patriots. Don't you feel sorry for them? Don't you feel sorry? But practice does matter. Practice does matter. So we've been practicing gratitude these past days in November. We've been practicing because it matters to us spiritually. It matters to us mentally and emotionally and psychologically. It matters to us relationally. It makes a difference. And so we've been practicing through our devos, our daily devotions that many of you have contributed to. We've been practicing through writing chalk on the sidewalks. Our gratitudes. We've been practicing through going through the letter to the Philippians, which I believe is Paul's primer on gratitude. And so 3 weeks ago, we talked about that Paul in prison could have seen himself as a victim of circumstance. I'm a victim of circumstance, but he, through gratitude in God's saints and God's presence, became a victor in circumstance. He then goes on in chapter 2. We looked at it 2 weeks ago. That we need to let go of a spirit of entitlement, that I'm entitled to these blessings and I'm grumpy when I don't get them. But to follow the one who was entitled to the glory of heaven, but he let that go, humbled himself by becoming a servant and gave himself fully, gave himself in grace for all of us, that we might live in grace and not be grumblers. Do all things without grumbling, Paul says, because we can live in gratitude. And then last week, he talked about the life that is fueled by grace, not by what we do. That sometimes when we get all focused on what we do, it's about what we do. He talks about it in the Greek word skubala, that it's worthless. It's what we do is doo-doo. It's and that's in the Bible, by the way. It's refuse compared to what God does for us. So we focus on what God is doing for us, God's grace in our life, God's love in our lives. You are the beloved daughters and sons of God through Jesus Christ. And as we focus on that, that fuels us for the journey of gratitude. And then today, Paul talks about a harvest metaphor so often, and it's really relevant for a harvest festival, historically harvest festival like Thanksgiving, that what we plant does reap a harvest. Paul talks about that in many of his letters, and there is this sense that what we sow, we will also reap, Galatians 6. But I want to give a word of caution as we talk about how our harvest is coming. Because there are some things in life, like Paul's experience of prison, that he didn't plant seeds for. He didn't necessarily do anything bad to get where he was. And sometimes there are experiences in life that we have in a world that's been out of whack since Genesis 3, theologically speaking, that we sometimes experience things that we didn't plant seeds necessarily for, but we're in a difficult time. And some of us are in difficult places here this morning. But what Paul would say to us as he wrote a letter from a difficult place is that pain is unavoidable, but misery is optional. Pain is unavoidable in this life, but misery is optional. That we can plant seeds that will make a difference in our journey. That we can plant seeds that can lead to a better harvest. And so Paul begins to speak about how this has impact in the Philippian congregation. And that we can sow seeds of discord, but that will lead to greater conflict. Seeds of discord. We have in this passage the name of two leaders in the church, two wonderful women in the Philippian church, Euodia and Syntyche. But they were not of the same mind. We don't know what their conflict was. We don't know what their discord was. But we know that there is the sense that they were not on the same page. They were not of the same mind. And both of them, I don't know what the issue was, but both of them probably thought that they were right. You know, I've seen in most arguments, both parties tend to think that They're right. But one can be right and be dead wrong at the same time. One can, by the way we carry ourselves, we can be dead wrong. Even if we might have a sense that we're right. That can happen at the Thanksgiving table, by the way. I was looking at some polling data. There are people who are planning to spend less time at the Thanksgiving table today, and this has nothing to do with caloric content, but it has to do with conflict. They don't want to spend additional time with their relatives, so they're planning to spend less time with their relatives who may disagree on an issue or two rather than experience that conflict. That they're differing opinions, that one thinks they're right, another thinks they're right, and they're going to talk about it. And I was just reminded about just something that I believe is important in a day where we have lots of conflict going on in our world and our society, and sometimes we bring that to the table. That back in August, we had a sermon series called Words of Wisdom. And I shared an acrostic that I got from another pastor that is think before you speak. I think Schaefer's going to put it up for us here. Think before you speak. And that is T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? That if we were to speak or to think before we speak, that maybe, or just maybe, the tenor of our conversation might be different. And if you're wondering, well, what can we talk about if we don't talk about issues in the world? Well, let me share a couple of possible examples. Talk about the 30 days of gratitude that your church has been experiencing and that you've been experiencing, the benefits of gratitude, the physical, spiritual, emotional benefits of gratitude. Or maybe talk about the five homes that are being built in Juarez as a mission of the church, or the dozens of Thanksgiving dinners that were delivered by members of this church yesterday, or the 200 bikes that were purchased for area children in need last Christmas, or the 100 foster children that are going to receive gifts through the Methodist Children's Home because of this congregation this year. Those are some things that inspire. And so instead of sowing seeds of discord that lead to greater conflict, we can sow different seed. The second thing that Paul talks about is that we can sow seeds of worry that lead to greater and greater anxiety. Okay? Now, some of us have DNA backgrounds that are probably more prone to worry. My dad's side of the family, we come from a long line of world-class worriers. If it were an Olympic event, we would be in there for the gold. You know, that there was just this gift that they had when they would get together of finding that cloud and ever silver lining. You know, that was just the DNA, the makeup of the family. But I ran across a quote the other day that I thought was helpful, and that is, worry doesn't help tomorrow's problems, but it saps today's strength. Worry doesn't do anything about tomorrow's problems, but it saps today's strength. And so what do we do with our worry? What I'm learning to do is what Paul said, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God, to turn the worry list into the prayer list. One of the things that I do, I carry a palm-held cross. And sometimes if I'm worrying about something or something's going on, I will write down on a piece of paper what I'm worrying about, and I will put the cross over it. And then 2 hours later, when I'm worrying about it again, I will go back to that paper and say, I'm giving that to you. I'm giving that to you. I'm giving that to you. To offer to God, rather than to mull over the worries, to give that to God, and the result is greater and greater peace. If we learn that it's not worrying about the test, about it's not going to help you make an A tomorrow, but it will take away the A game of today. worrying about things, worrying about the future. We can work and we can pray, and that makes a difference. So Paul says, instead of worrying, that leads to greater and greater anxiety, pray, and that leads to peace. By the way, there are palm crosses at the welcome desk if you'd like to pick one up. If you come from a line of world-class worriers, I recommend it highly. And then Paul says the seeds that we sow matter. The seeds of positivity lead to greater and greater gratitude. Paul says it this way in this great passage of Scripture. He says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, think about these things. There's another translation that I love that says, let your mind dwell on these things, to dwell on the positive. I had a really great example for this in my home growing up. My mother, Mary Faye Palmer, was born in 1920. And it amazes me to think that she was born before women had the right to vote in this country. Isn't that incredible? But she was born in 1920, and she had 9 really blessed years. Her dad was in the insurance agency and had his own agency and did very well. In the roaring 20s, he did very, very well. And she has warm memories of abundance in those years, those 9 years. But 1929 came. October 1929 came, and after the crash and then the economic depression after that, nobody was buying insurance. And so my grandfather's business folded. They lost everything. And she remembers going from house to house of relatives with she and her younger sisters. Her father's health began to fail. His asthma just continued to deteriorate, his ability to breathe and his ability to work. And my grandmother had her own limitations. And I'm told, my mother never said this, but I'm told that when my mother was 16 or 17, that she was the one who would be on the phone negotiating with creditors. She kind of went from everything going pretty well to a hard life. People had it harder. Absolutely, people had it harder. But she had a hard life. Then our family situations, my dad's disability, she became the sole breadwinner for the family for many years, many, many years. And she would wake up every workday morning at 4:50 to get on the bus to go downtown Dallas, and then to come back, wouldn't get back until 6:30 at night, in which then she was mom. And so I can remember sometimes waking up early and going through the kitchen and seeing her at 5:15, and there she would be. She would have her grape nuts, she would have her coffee, and she would have her open Bible. And she pored over that Bible, and she gained strength from that Bible. And I remember after her passing, being able to look at her Bible and look at Philippians chapter 4, and friends, those verses were underlined. Those verses were memorized. Those verses were internalized. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things, and the peace of God will be with you. She planted seeds of positivity, of grace, and she was indeed a woman of gratitude. A woman of gratitude. Paul, in prison, became known for his gratitude. The Philippians, in their difficulty, began known as people of gratitude. Friends, we're in different places today. Some of us are in difficult places. But the seeds we plant going forward do make a difference. They do make a difference. And the harvest of gratitude changes our lives, changes our trajectory, and puts us in a position of abundance and grace. Even in the prisons of life, grace is available. Grace is available. Gratitude is an option. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, for those who have gone before us, who have, in the midst of the prisons of life, taught us about the power of your grace that can transform our hearts into places of greater gratitude and peace, we give you thanks. Oh God, for your Spirit at work within us, that we are your works in progress, yes, but you're at work in us to will and to work for your good pleasure, your good purposes. And so by your Spirit, we pray you'd pour out your love on your people this day and kindle in us a heart that looks for the good, looks for the positive, and looks to give thanks, offering to you our worries and being people of prayer. Oh God, may that harvest be rich as we share that with others in the ripple effects of our life. We pray all this in gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen.